Fearless.
Chase.
Bold.
Following.
Courageous.
Search. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Marshall.
And this is
Undaunted
Pursuit. Yeah. All right, we're back.
Technical difficulties.
You gotta love them, right?
Hey, it's part of life these days.
Ugh, everything. Anyway, well, all right, so we're going to get into it. And hopefully we won't have any more difficulties. So I had...
No more gremlins.
Yeah, right. So I had a somebody reach out. We had a comment on the YouTube channel about how we wanted to... And we've been thinking about this. We've been hinting at it for quite a while about wanting to do the feast. I know that, it, you know, better me and you, Christian, to get into this as well, because we've done research on it. And what we're going to do this week is we're going to get into the festivals or the feasts, and I'm doing air quotes here, the Jewish feasts, right? Because I do that in air quotes because it's not necessarily for the Jews.
Right.
Right. So we're going to get into it. And with Passover looming, Passover is going to be here before we know it. Yeah. Why don't you, since I didn't have a chance to write down exactly when the dates are, when is Passover? And we'll kind of start there, and we'll explain these feasts and what they are for.
Yeah. So Passover will be, it starts Monday, April 22nd through Tuesday, April 30th. So it's a little over a day long or a week long.
Okay.
And it's kind of a little funny to me why our Easter doesn't necessarily coincide with Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some information on that I can share.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So the Jewish holiday of Passover, or what we know as Christians more so, the Last Supper, and then Easter theoretically occurred 3 days later. So the Roman Catholic calendar always had Easter fall after the Paschal moon, which is the new moon that starts the Jewish month of Nisan. Passover comes 15 days after this new moon. However, the Jewish calendar is a monthly calendar, which sometimes adds a month in order to keep the seasons in the correct sequence on the month before Nisan. And the reason they add a month is the Jewish calendar is completely based off the moon, as we mentioned. So every month is 29 days, regardless, you know, like our current Gregorian calendar, you know, most of them are 31, and then we have our leap year. So they're both kind of funky, but it kind of makes sense to follow the moon because it's consistent. But then they have to catch it up every couple years because... otherwise the Jewish months, as they call them, you know, they don't coincide with the season. So they'll just add a month in and, you know, catch it back up to where it's supposed to be. So anyway, there are times when the Christian calendar falls out that the Easter comes before the new moon of the Nisan, and therefore instead their holiday will fall out on what's called Adar 2, or the second month of Adar. An extra month of Adar is added every several years to ensure the Jewish festival holidays fall out in their appropriate season. So bottom line is Passover and Easter rarely fall on the same days.
Interesting. So what we are talking about here, and let me read this, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And this is, you know, we're going to read this passage and then we're going to explain ourselves here. Then God said, "Let there be light bearers, the sun, moon, stars in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be useful for signs or tokens of God's provident care and for marking," here it is, "marking seasons, days, and years." Verse 15, "Let them be useful as lights in the expanse of the heavens to provide light on the earth and it was so, just as he commanded. So what we're talking about here are, we're going to be talking about the seven appointed times, which is also referred to as the Moedim, or, and it's the feasts of God in our God's appointed times. And so he set this all going, you know, he set this all up from the very beginning. I'm going to let you expand on this a little bit, Christian, here in just a minute. But Moedim is to set an appointment or a set time or season. Okay. Moedim is plural for Moedim. Moed. You know, I'm not a Hebrew, so, or a Greek, so I don't know how some of these are pronounced, but
right.
Anyway, yeah, you can, if, do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, the Genesis 14, you know, let them serve as signs. They were demonstrated awesome signs and wonders, and for signs to mark seasons, as you mentioned, or the Moedim. Mm-hmm. And God was saying, pay attention to these. They're going to mark important times in your lives. We translate in English as seasons, but they repeat year after year, you know, like our seasons.
Right.
And he also said, you know, these things that I do, I want you to remember them. I want you to teach your children. I want you to mark them. You're now living, you're now in my living demonstration that I am God. You're my living witness that I am God. These are kingdom events, and Leviticus 23:1 says, these are my appointed feasts. The Hebrews were the only ones listening at the time, obviously, and they have stewarded these feasts, but they're not Jewish feasts. They belong to everyone in the kingdom. If God is the king, these are his feasts.
Right.
Isaiah 66 says in the New Jerusalem, which is talking about, you know, the age to come, Sabbath to Sabbath, the Lord will be God.
Another thing,
so,
I can
also, you know, we should see these as blessings. They're not have to's, you know, like a religious thing. And Exodus 12:37, you know, it states in there that it's not just for the Hebrews. There were Egyptians, there were Syrians, there were other ethnics that were included in the Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that I ran across was that, was the original Hebrew and forgive me for butchering this, but I had it in my notes here. Vehayu le atat li atat uli modum or uli yayam, which, so in there's a lot written in that, and at is singular for atat, if I'm saying it right. And that sign, mark, or indication can also be used for the word letter, which I don't exactly know why I had that written down in my notes. Which of course in my notes here, we did say in English, Moed is singular for Moedim, but in English we know it as seasons. Moed derives from the Hebrew word ad, which is also eternity. So these seasons are for...
Well, and in my... Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. We're texting back and forth. Those of you listening, yours is slow. Your internet is slow, huh?
Yeah. I see your waves going by really fast and mine are going by very slow.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I think we can continue to do this here though, because so... in this word, this Moedim, there's so much wrapped into it that the Moed part of it derives from the Hebrew word ad, which is eternity. So what is eternity? It refers to any fixed time of the year. So what is the breakdown of this word is that it refers to any fixed time of the year, which it means, and that's forever. So common uses of this word in Hebrew are for holidays and festivals.
Right.
Okay, so, Christian, what I wanted to do was cover, I kind of wanted to just quickly cover all of these appointed times, even though, you know, because we are coming up on Passover, and I just wanted to kind of just do a thing, and then we'll eventually get into them piece by piece and how they all work together. With us having these problems, this is probably just like an introductory kind of study into God's appointed times.
Sounds good.
So you already been over Leviticus 23. So these festivals, and you guys can read about it in Leviticus 23, Numbers 28 and 29. Did you already mention that, Christian?
I don't think I went over the Numbers scriptures, no.
Okay. All right. Well, it can be found there as well. And both of them cover God's appointed times. And so here's the crazy thing. Here's a crazy thing that I came across was that around these times, all these festivals and stuff, there were sacrifices, and there were daily offerings, there were Sabbath offerings, and there were monthly offerings. Can you imagine the amount of animals that were being sacrificed at that time?
No, I mean the amount of blood and meat going around. I mean, you think you have a cookout in the South? I mean, that's a lot of animals going down.
Yeah, and so one source that I didn't write down where I found it, but one source mentioned approximately 1.2 million animals a day is what was being sacrificed.
How did they get them all there? Like, that's an insane amount of animals.
Well, if you remember right, I don't know outside, I'd have to go back and read through Numbers and Leviticus, but weren't they knee deep in blood, the priests?
Yeah, I remember that reference. Yeah, I mean, they were just having at it, man. There was another one when they were talking about, I think it was Solomon or maybe it was David with the ark, and like every seven steps, they'd kill a number of beasts. Just like,
Goodness.
Kind of gruesome, you know, like for us these days, but you know, back in that time, you know, everyone was sacrificing, not just animals, but people too.
Yeah. Well, and it was you know, that's the thing is, you know, that's what it was, is it was atonement for sins. And, you know, that just goes to show you and prove to you that all those animals, you know, all that atonement, and to think, you know, the beauty of it is that Jesus's blood, what he sacrificed for all of us, he is the one and only sacrifice from here on out, you know, from that time moving forward, he satisfied all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. Just like, you know, the reference to Passover, you know, with the one lamb, you know, each family had to kill a perfect lamb and apply the blood. And anyone under that blood was covered for the coming judgment.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a good transition into what we're getting ready to, what we're talking about in these festivals. What do all these festivals celebrate? They all celebrate and point to Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so do you have in your notes, because I didn't write it down, the festivals that Jesus, or the appointed times, which we're going to call them the appointed times, because they are a celebration, and they are, they all do point to Jesus, but Jesus fulfilled, what is it, three or four when he was here? And there's some that speculate that this is how we are to, this is the nugget that, God has given us to mark the end of times when Jesus is going to return, because there are some sources that say, some commentary that says that Jesus is going to come back to fulfill the remaining feasts, correct?
Right. Yeah. So there are seven feasts in Leviticus 23. So if you guys want to know, you know, where all the feasts are located, Leviticus 23 kind of lists them all out. As you mentioned, they don't speak about a time. They're speaking about a person, which is Jesus. It's always about him.
Yes.
The first feast is Passover, where he demonstrated redemption by blood. We're purchased and cleaned. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was Jesus. He had no sin, or he referred to leaven as sin when he was talking about like the Pharisees. And he talked about it being sin as well in the Gospels. The Feast of the First Fruits, Jesus was to be the first to be raised from the dead. That happened on the Feast of the First Fruits. And then Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. And those are the spring feasts that he fulfilled.
Yep. Also called the Festival of Weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So then what are we left with here in the fall Moedim? So these are, like we had broke down earlier, these are the Moedims, God's appointed times. And so that was the spring Moedim. That's what we are celebrating. And now when we get into the fall, we get into the fall Moedim, which is also encompassing the Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, and the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which is what we all want to get to, is this Feast of Tabernacles, which is God's kingdom. Correct me if I'm wrong. That is, which we all know the kingdom is here. We are God's kingdom, but that's us being in the presence of the Lord. Is that correct? Or how is that?
Yeah, tabernacles are basically tents. So the way the Jews celebrate today, they go out and kind of make these hasty, I guess we call them like gazebos. They have requirements of how they're to be built. But they're like a hasty shelter. They don't have a roof. They put, sometimes like palm fronds over the top. But one of the requirements is that they can still see the stars through their tabernacle or tent. Okay. And basically what this is calling us to is, he's going to join us on earth and live amongst us. And that in theory is what we're looking at. And I was thinking about it the other day. When we're in our glorified bodies and living here on earth, we're not going to need roofs anymore. We're not going to be subject to the elements. We can just kind of, and heck, we don't really need to sleep. So, why wouldn't we all just be partying in these kind of makeshift shelters, if you will, but they're not really shelters anymore. So we can be under the stars. We don't have to worry about the rain. We can hang out under the stars and feast, which is going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. Yeah. That's what we all look forward to. And, here's what I was, while we were talking about this, it makes me think of, of fasting and, different types of worship. And this is what this is more of like just a big worship session is what these, festivals or these feasts are especially in the fall Moedim, is that they are, you fast because if you remember what Jesus said, the disciples had no reason to fast because the bridegroom was with them at the time, but you fast for in worship of Jesus, in longing to be with him. And that's what these festivals are these feasts are recognizing, are we long for God to be with for us to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And if you want to look at it that way, this is yet again a reason why this isn't just for the Jews, that this is also for the Gentiles as well. And that encompasses all of us. This is all of us grafted into that vine, that this is yet again another way to worship our Lord.
Right. And he wants us to remember them. He wants us to teach them to our children. He wants us to mark them. He wants us to, not only look forward to what's coming, but also celebrate what's already been fulfilled. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, the moon and these dates or these seasons or Moedim were all put in place before Adam and Eve even hit the earth. It's kind of looking at that whole, he had the whole picture. He knew everything that was going to happen. Everything was planned. you know, to already know that the Jews were going to, you know, come out of Egypt, and that was going to coincide with his son coming down and being sacrificed and marking that mm-hmm. in the seasons, you know, like that they were celebrating these things before they even came. He was trying to let them know, you know, these are, and as we're looking forward to the fall festivals, you know, if we look at the Feast of Trumpets, you know, Christ said that we can't know the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour, but we can know mm-hmm. the season. Right.
Yeah. So it's exactly,
these are, and it was funny to me that, you know, like Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and said, you know, you guys can look at the sky and predict the weather. So obviously you have some skill in reading the sky, but you still didn't anticipate me. Like you didn't expect me. And, you know, I think of like the wise men who were what, a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 miles away, saw his sign in the mm-hmm. sky and knew that the Messiah was born. So it's like God has these things planned out, and you know, he gives us hints or signs that we can look for in the last days. But you know, we know what season he's coming because of those signs. And
yeah,
you know, many Christians, myself included, believe that's when Christ will return, will be the Feast of Trumpets. I mean, he met all the spring feasts to the day, you know, that they occurred.
Yep.
So why wouldn't he do the same in the fall?
Yep, for sure. And I share that same thought or that same belief that, especially after digging into this, and, you know, think about it this way, okay? You know, we're getting ready to come into Easter, and we'll talk more about that next week, I believe, but we'll talk about Jesus's resurrection, which is ultimately what we're celebrating on Easter. And, but you celebrate your birthday every year, right? You celebrate Christmas every year. That, why not? What better? And I'm not saying that you don't celebrate your birthday, don't celebrate your, celebrate Christmas or whatever, but because I'm not saying that at all. But in addition to celebrate these festivals, they are important, if not more important than any of that. Just think about it. The Jews, you know, or the Jewish culture does have their own version of Christmas, and that's not included in God's appointed times. That's what they have. I think I looked up, let me see if I can't find that website that I looked up, because they have, on top of all this, they have other celebrations that they do throughout the year that are not included in this Moedim.
Right. Yeah. And it's just kind of, you know, like I was thinking about it, like my anniversary with my wife is coming up on Saturday, and, you know, March 16th. And before we were married, March 16th was just another day to me. Mm-hmm. And then after I became married to her, it became kind of a, I'm not going to call it a sacred day, but it became a holiday for us. And it was something I shared with her. I share with her. And I think you can view these Moedim in kind of the same way. You know, these are God's appointed times for us to remember, just like me and my wife remember, you know, our betrothal, getting married. These are dates that we mm-hmm. can remember, you know, hey, Yeshua, Jesus died on the cross. The first two festivals were Passover and unleavened bread. So in dying on the cross, Jesus fulfilled the first two. The redemption through the death of the lamb and unleavened bread is about getting rid of sin. The death of the lamb was Passover, paid the price for our indebtedness, and gave us freedom from mm-hmm. sin, the unleavened bread. So it's like, instead of celebrating a rabbit and some eggs and Easter baskets and, you know, going on Easter egg hunts, which is fine. I mean, I'm going to do the same with my four kids, but
sure,
taking time to talk to them and say, hey, do you know what Easter is all about? And of course, many people do, but the unleavened bread part is probably something that we could all spend some time on, and celebrating a Passover meal, the Seder, which I don't even know if we have time to get into, but that's a whole nother beast. You know, looking at the Seder meal was riddled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about Jesus, you know, and this was something that the Jews did, you know, coming out of Egypt and the Exodus, and it had some symbolism to that, but it also had a lot of symbolism to Jesus. So, you know,
and even his return.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I know none of us, well, me and you aren't Jewish, but going through that meal with the kids, and even if you don't do it in person, like watch a video, talk mm-hmm. about it with the kids and show how this was all foretold and let them just kind of get that additional context. Because for me, the context just helps to paint such a more beautiful and detailed picture of God's story.
Yeah. Well, we do have plenty of time to get into that if you want to. I want you to plug that YouTube video you sent me. It was wildly fascinating, the about that Seder meal, because the bread, the way that it's cooked, the way that it's prepared and set aside, it's just we know that it's all about Jesus, but it's just, it's incredible. Even the way that it's cooked, this guy in this video that Christian that you're gonna plug for us here, is that even the stripes on the bread itself represent the stripes that Jesus bore for our sins.
Right. Yeah. So the Hebrew word Seder means order. So the Passover meal has a specific order in which the food is eaten. Mm-hmm. Prayers are recited. There's songs that they sing. And each item on this plate or Seder plate has a specific historical meaning related to the exodus of the Jews from Egypt and their freedom from slavery. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 5:7, it identifies Jesus Christ as our Passover. So the Seder carries a New Testament meaning related to Jesus the Messiah as well. Mm-hmm. There's several strong symbols of Christ. One is the shank bone of a lamb, which reminds the people eating the feast of God's salvation. The 10th plague, God instructed the Israelites to daub their doorposts and lintels with the blood of a spotless lamb so that the Lord would pass over their homes and preserve their lives within. It's a symbol of salvation in Egypt, but it's also a clear picture of Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, and mm-hmm. his sacrifice preserves the lives of all who believe. Another symbol of Christ on the Seder plate is the matzah bread, or unleavened bread. So Jewish people left Egypt, they had to do so in great haste, and therefore they didn't have time to allow their bread to rise. So from then on, Passover was followed by the week-long fest or feast of the unleavened bread. You can read that in Deuteronomy. There's some fascinating things about the matzah that even that Aaron just mentioned. So for example, the matzah is placed in a bag. I don't remember what it's called, but it means one in Hebrew.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. Yeah.
It's like Ekid or Ekod, something like that. But mm-hmm. the one bag has three chambers inside of it. So think of like a big envelope with three different chambers. So they take one piece of the matzah and they place it in each chamber of that bag. The first chamber is never touched, never used, never seen. The second is in the bag is broken in half at the beginning of the Seder. Half of the broken matzah is placed in back in that pouch, or you know, the bag, and the other half, I think it's afokimen, something like that. Apologize for my lack of Hebrew. It's placed in a linen cloth. they put it inside a linen cloth and like fold it up. And part of the tradition, which it wasn't part of the tradition back when Christ was around. So it doesn't predate Christ. But what they will do even now to this day is the Jews will hide that piece somewhere in the mm-hmm. house. And at the end of the meal, the kids go and look for it. And whoever finds it and brings it back, it's a prize. And then the third matzah in the bag is used to eat the elements of the Seder plate. Mm-hmm. So and the matzah bread itself, if you look at it, it kind of looks like a soup cracker to us. You know, it's white, kind of with some brown stripes, and it's pierced.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, obviously a reference to Christ, who was striped and pierced. And again, you know, to rehash the it has no leaven. It has no sin. just like Jesus.
Yep. Where'd you find that? What was that video on YouTube that you found? That it was just, he explained it so well. It's kind of dry.
Yeah.
And it's kind of slow moving, but it's definitely worth a watch. It's not very long. So anybody listening to this can go and listen to it too.
Yeah. There's cups. There's four different cups that he talks about. I picture Jesus taking out one of those matzo breads and breaking it. Just like we read in the New Testament and saying, this is my body. This is me, you know, and Jesus said in the New Testament, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And I see him breaking it and revealing that to the disciples at that Last Supper saying, this is my body. You know, this is my body being broken. So this element of the Passover that you've had every year up to this point, I'm going to help you associate it with me going forward. And the same with the cups, you know, when he gets to that third out of the fourth cups, it's, the cup of salvation. And he says, this is my blood, you know, like he's teaching them that all these elements they've taken over the Passover pointed to him, which I think is just mind blowing. There's a couple other things on, the vegetables. There's carpus. The element is usually like parsley, and they dip it in salt water and eat it. The carpus is like the hyssop.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, and the salt water represents like the tears that the Jews shed during slavery, which I think is, you know, they're teaching their children again to remember, you know, something that they weren't a part of, something that they weren't around for, but it was very important to the Jews. There's bitter herbs, and I know like right now we used horseradish, and it makes you cry, right? And like when you eat it, it was to remind the Jews that they were unable to offer sacrifice and worship God. And there was, it was bitterer than the slavery of Egypt. I know there's an egg, a hard boiled egg, and traditionally hard boiled eggs are eaten by mourners. And the egg is eaten during the Seder to remind participants that they're not always in mourning for the loss of their temple. The fact that egg is roasted evokes the roasting of the sacrifice on the altar of the temple.
There is just a lot to it.
Yeah. The four cups, quickly, each of the glasses of wine has a name. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. The second cup is the cup of judgment. The third cup is the cup of redemption or salvation. And the fourth cup is the cup of praise. And at the Last Supper, Jesus took the first cup, promised his disciples the next time he drank the fruit of the vine with them would be in the new kingdom. And then, like I mentioned, later in the Seder, Jesus took the third cup and used that cup as a symbol of the new covenant in his blood. So Jesus kind of fulfilled the Passover symbolism and infused the whole feast with a new meaning.
So, As we kind of wrap up this episode here, because I really want to get into more of this at a later date, as far as like breaking down each feast, individually, but just think about it. So what we want to do, the idea is to explain why it's relevant for us as much as, the Jewish people. And, I think the idea would be just take it like this, okay? You know, there's a lot in that, and not everybody. The idea of recognizing that is good enough. You may not be able to do all of it, like you said earlier, Christian, is to just maybe even watch a video on it during that time, just to kind of keep that on your mind. Because here's the thing, and I was pulling this up, Jewish holidays in 2024, right? They've got Shavat, which is not the one that I read earlier. It's Shevat, which is a new year for trees. And real quick, they've got Purim, which is it celebrates the deliverance of the Jewish people from the wicked Haman in the days of Queen Esther of Persia. And then skipping over Lag Bo'Omar, which is another celebrating the anniversary of the passing of the great sage and mystic rabbi. Anyway, this is just something I quickly pulled up. If you pull up Jewish holidays on there, there's a whole bunch of holidays outside of what we're talking about here on this episode. And it's not mentioned in God's word. God made it a point to write it into his word. So there, it's got to be for everyone, because God's word is for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, we think of it like we are residents of heaven, the kingdom. And mm-hmm. these are going to be things, I believe, even in the new kingdom, we're going to still celebrate for eternity, right?
Right.
So it's things that we should acknowledge while we're here on earth. And I think of like holiday came from holy day.
Yeah.
And we know that the devil likes to counterfeit things that God does, his creations and his works. And God gave us holy days to celebrate. And a lot of the world has traded them for holidays, but mm-hmm. the holy days are meant for all people. And, you know, we should be celebrating the holy days of our kingdom. These are days that are set apart from every other day.
Yeah. We'll just take, for example, Shabbat, or take a Sabbath day. He created the Sabbath for us so that we, mm-hmm. because he knew that our bodies needed rest. And so, and God makes it clear in his word that that's what it was for, that it was for us.
Right. Yeah. And like you said earlier, you know, simple ways to celebrate these feasts: read scripture, read the story. You know, if you're not sure which scriptures apply to each feast, look it up. You know, especially the spring feast, you can read those in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going back to the Old Testament, see, you know, what the Jews went through up to that point, and then celebrate and read what Jesus did to fulfill them. Teach and share it with your family. You know, show a video, watch a video yourself. Pass it on to the kids that they know it's a holy day. And as you said, fasting and just prayer. You know, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to put on yarmulkes and sing Hava Nagila. You know, like, you could just spend some time with God on those days and acknowledge him.
Yeah, exactly. Or in our case, Christian, what we like to do, and you are a proud owner of it, is blow that shofar.
You bet. No, every Feast of Trumpets, we'll be running around the yard and we'll be blowing that thing away. All the kids can play it. I can play it. So yeah, it's just a cool thing to remember and to teach the kids. One day we're going to hear the blast of God's shofar in the sky, and that's going to be it. Like, we're coming home, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about that. I was actually kind of thinking about that today. As I was out driving around, I was thinking about if I'll have time to dance when Jesus returns. I know that comes up a lot. Like, I am always constantly thinking of Jesus coming back. It's always on my mind. And what are you going to be doing when Jesus returns? And, you know, I want it to be at one of those points where, like, oh, I was just thinking about how, you know, here's the thought that I had today. And this is just kind of to break up the seriousness of this episode, because we really packed a lot into it in a relatively short amount of time that could have taken hours to explain. But I was like, oh man, I was driving around today thinking about, well, is Jesus going to come down like Thor does in the movie? You know, like when you see Thor come out of the sky and just boom, right on the mountain, just split the mountain in half. And, you know, and I was like, will I have time to kind of dance in celebration of Jesus's return when he comes back? Or are we just going to be all of a sudden called up?
Man, I hope I get to watch. Like it said, it'll be like lightning going from east to west across the sky. Like, everyone in the world is going to know what's going on. And I hope I'm not just like doing something stupid, like doing the dishes or folding laundry. Right. You know, like, I want to be outside and like watch, you know, hit. And it blows my mind to even think that. Like, here I am in the United States. Obviously, I can't see what's going on in Israel, but it says the whole world is going to know. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see what that looks like. Hopefully, we're here for it.
For sure. For sure. Well, shoot, I think that about rounds us out, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
We kind of got our point.
Encourage anyone that's interested in this, man, get online and research it, look into it. There's a lot of great videos, a lot of good articles. You know, the more you know about God and his story, the better and more enjoyable it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you got anything to add?
No. To come say hello, Harry.
The wife is, has come in to visit the Harry Potter studio tonight.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, we'll finish this up. And guys, thanks for listening to Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. We're glad you joined us here this week. Make sure to give us a follow on social media. Follow us on any platform that you listen to this podcast on. Share this podcast with somebody this week. Yeah. If you guys want to reach out to us, want to email us for any reason, talk to us. You can message us on Facebook, Instagram, X, all those social media platforms. Also, undauntedpursuit@gmail.com or mail@undauntedpursuit.com. You can always message us there. We'd love to hear from you guys. Give us a good rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts at. And one last thing is enjoy this music this week from Aaron Justice. I'm going to probably put in another one of his songs here. Make sure you go on, follow him, give him, keep up with what he's doing. He's a great artist. And as usual, we love promoting any of the artists we share on here. So in the meantime, you guys have a great week. We'll see you guys next week on Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. See you guys.
Thanks for joining us. God bless you.
I was a rebel, living life without a cause. I was on the run, doing what I wanted. I didn't care what anyone else thought. Then you found me, and you reached out your hand, and every chain broke away. When you walked right in, you walked right in. When I needed a rescue, you walked right in. Saved me from myself when I was afraid and didn't know what to say. You knew I needed saving, pulled me out of the pit I was living in. When you walked right there, yeah. When you walked right there, yeah. I was a prisoner to my sin. I was a slave on the wrong path, going nowhere fast, headed for an empty grave. When out of the darkness, oh, you pulled me to the light, and every stain washed away. When you walked right in, you walked right in. When I needed a rescue, you walked right in, yeah. And saved me from myself when I was afraid and didn't know what to say. You knew I needed saving, pulled me out of the pit I was living in. When you walked right in, yeah. When you walked right in, yeah, yeah. From a sinner to being saved, from a captive to being set free, from an orphan without a home to being a child of the King. From a sinner to being saved, from a captive to being set free, from an orphan without a home to being a child of the King. Oh, you walked right in. When I needed a rescue, you walked right in, yeah. You saved me from myself when I was afraid and didn't know what to say. You knew I needed saving, me out of the pit that I was living in. When you walked right in, yeah. When you walked right in.